And our guest this hour, Oliver Williams. I'll have open lines next hour for the next couple hours, as a matter of fact. But when we come back, it'll be your turn. Phone calls with our guest, Oliver Williams, as we talk about the very strange case of time traveler John Teeter. And welcome back to Coast. We'll go to jammed phone lines, Oliver, in just a second. So tell me a little bit about the website. You constantly update it, right?
Yeah, we basically, it comes in waves. Sometimes there'll be nothing, and then all of a sudden we'll get inundated with email, and then we'll go through it and we'll update the site. And if you go to the site now, there's actually three articles that are very interesting that we put links up for today. John was asked if there was any progress in treating cancer, and he said that they would discover or be able to use viruses to treat cancer. This is back in the year 2000, and sure enough, we got an email today. There's a whole bunch of news now about how they're using viruses to treat cancer, and they're successful at it. Another one is, I got this one today. Apparently, there is now serious math behind the fact that it is possible to travel backwards in time. That was on the BBC site, and I saw that one today.
Yeah.
Also, at the bottom of our site, and this one I found amazing when I first read it. It was an article written by a physics teacher at the University of Washington. His name is Dr. John Kramer. And he wrote an article, it was an interview, about creating black holes at CERN, which is what John described was the mechanism for making his time machine work. And a lot of the statements that he was making were almost mirror images of what John had said when he was here in the year 2000. And I got a hold of him, and I think he thought I was kind of a kook, because it's a little difficult to approach professionals when you want to talk about time travel.
Especially when you know that there might have been one.
Exactly. So you have to kind of approach that a little delicately. But he had never heard of John Teeter, and, you know, according to him, there's some serious science and physics and math now behind the statements that John was making in the year 2000.
I'm telling you, Teeter was either a bona fide time traveler, or the guy was a genius, because he understood physics, mathematics, history, the human mind. He knew it all.
You know, he knew how to pull people's strings too when he was online. I think, you know, if he was not a time traveler, he knew what he was doing when he was talking to these people.
Let's go to some phones. Let's pick it up by going to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Good morning. Good evening. Hi.
I was wondering, did John mention anything about the New World Order?
Yes.
Yes?
The remarks he made about it were that the New World Order, they tried to institute some sort of New World Order, but it didn't work because of the conflict that was going on. So there was no New World Order, but they did try to do it. There was some sort of an organization that tried to come together, and it didn't work.
Thank God.
It's good to know it fails.
Well, I guess that's good news, unless it was a nuclear war that kept it from happening.
Well, that's true. He did not elaborate about that?
He said it was a result of conflict that stopped it. But, you know, then again, which is worse, you know, living in a crater or having a new world order?
Mm, could be. Any more questions there?
No.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
First time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
I have a very interesting thing to tell you about this Mr. Teeter.
All right.
About a year ago, I got in a car accident, and the car accident was caused by what's called a traveler, as you would call it, a time traveler. And he explained to me he needed me to get in the accident so that I wouldn't be in an accident later that day that would kill me, because I'm supposed to do something for them now to help them catch this Teeter person.
You mean they're looking for him?
I'm, in a sense, working for a different traveler, yes. I don't know his name. He wouldn't tell me anything, except that I'm supposed to do something for him now that's supposed to help him to catch this person.
Oliver, I'm going to let you jump in with our caller. And where are you calling from, by the way?
New York City.
From New York City. Okay, go ahead, Oliver.
Are they looking for our John Teeter, the boy, or would they be looking for the actual time traveler that came from 2036?
If I understood him correctly, they're looking for the actual time traveler. He's been jumping through time, and they haven't been able to catch him.
You know, he didn't make any remarks about going rogue, but I suppose if that were a problem, I guess they would be trying to look for him.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe he lost his mind. Maybe that's the reason why he was talking to people online.
Well, maybe. Maybe he was always rogue.
Yeah, from what I came to understand, he used to work for the government. But something happened, and he disappeared.
Well, you know, it's an interesting point, because if you were given a time machine and you could go anywhere you wanted, any time, would you come back?
No.
Well, I wouldn't come back to the year 2000.
Yeah, I mean, if you could go anywhere you wanted and nobody could stop you or catch you, would there ever be a reason to return to where you started?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's a problem that all time travelers have.
And from what I come to understand, it could be a very big problem, because he can do something possibly in the past to change what would be our future.
Right, and a lot of people believe that's exactly what happened, that we're living on a timeline that was changed by a time traveler.
Right, and that's why they're trying to catch this person, Mr. Teeter here, so that they can, you know, prevent any more changes, any more problems.
Are these people still in touch with you?
They've only talked to me twice, that one time there, and then once I saw them through what I would call a daydream. He said, the time is coming, and that was a little over a week ago when I first tried calling you guys.
You know, what would the punishment be if you caught him? I remember, I believe he made a remark that in the future they were considering using time travelers or time travel just for capital punishment. In other words, just banning somebody to the Stone Age. So maybe that's what they would do with them.
That's probably very understandable, sending him out there and taking away whatever it is they use to travel with so that he'd be stuck.
Dude, that is bizarre. It really is. All right, well, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Now let's stay in touch with each other, too. That is strange that they'd be looking for him, and he's popping all over the place.
It's a good point. I mean, if you had a time machine, George, would there be any reason to go home?
Well, yeah, yes and no. You know, if you were able to go back in time, first of all, where would you go, Oliver?
If I were, you know what, I think I would be interested in seeing from a distance how my parents interacted with me as a child. I think that would be fascinating. Of course, going back to see, you know, major moments in history, religious or otherwise, would also be
I favorite. Would love to go back during the time of Jesus. I mean, I just like to witness this.
Well, now let me ask you a question about that, because this is something that comes up in the email. What if you could do that and you went back and you saw it and it was nothing like what you expected and it completely changed you?
Well, I'd still want to know that. So you're saying, what if I went back and he wasn't this son of God, but maybe he was just a guy?
Right. Would that information change you, or would it make you crazy? Would you want to go in the future and tell people about it?
Well,
would anyone believe you?
I'd have to witness if he still had these magical powers or spiritual powers, whatever he might have had, or whether it was all sleight of hand. I don't know. I'd have to witness a little bit more of that. Then, if I didn't go to that time period, I'd want to go to 1947. I'd want to be in Roswell, New Mexico, and I'd want to be there and see what happened.
Yeah, that would be interesting, too. But again, what if everything that you're afraid of was real, and you found out that your government was hiding it, was covering it up, and all these awful things that even art talks about are real? I mean, how would that affect
you? I'm a reporter. That's my job. I'd come back and have one heck of a story.
And there'd be a straitjacket waiting for you.
You know, just my luck to forget to bring a tape recorder. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi there.
Hey, uh-huh. Where are you? Hello.
Hi there.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Okay, where are you?
I am in Cibola, Arizona.
Cibola. Go ahead.
Anyway, I have been a compulsive journalist. I'm a small-time cartoonist, and I look at it as quantum residue of a parallel activity gone disastrously wrong the last time. And it's strange, and it's also wonderful, because this time things are like, I do not believe that Roswell is of any interest to the Grays. That's just and Uncle Sam's trying to keep the secret of the intelligence besides humans is becoming irrelevant too.
Well, you know, John made reference to the fact that a world without Y2K may have been worse for us because of some of the reasons you just brought up, that we have a government that's run amok, that knows these things, that would have been overturned if Y2K had happened, and now it hasn't. So that's the responsibility we got to live with now.
Yeah. It's amazing as to Congress's blindfold that they're all having on to all this crazy stuff that's going on. They should all just sit back and just...
Well, you know, John said there was going to be a civil conflict that would start to take effect now. And if you think about it, I don't know if there would be one or two events that could stop that, because you would need all this momentum, all these things that would have to happen to lead up to that. So maybe we're just in a phase where it's going to be delayed a little bit because of a few things that didn't happen. So maybe what you're, you know, hoping for now is going to happen anyway.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air.
Hi, is this me?
It sure is. It's
all
your
right.
Turn. Go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good.
I've been really interested in the whole John Teeter thing for probably about a year now. In fact, I bought the book as soon as I heard it was out. And of everything in it, like, I, you know, everything has led me to believe that this could be real, but one thing always caught me, and that's, well, he said that the C204 time machine that he was using wouldn't allow him to travel forward in time, but the C206 may by like a couple of seconds.
Actually, I believe the C206 does allow him to travel forward and go back. But I think what you might be referring to is that he stated he could never get back to the exact timeline that he started from. He could get back to one that was close, but he could never get back to the exact place where he started.
So even with the C204, he could travel forward in time?
Correct.
Oh, okay. And another question I had was, there was in one of the pictures, they had a diagram of the... basically the two singularities and their whole layout with the battery and all that good stuff.
Correct.
And a lot of it's kind of eaten up, but you can make out most of it. Well, there's one that just, I cannot make out, and I was wondering if anybody else had...
There are two thoughts about that. One is that if John Teeter was not real, then he cleverly produced these documents, or somebody did, and did that on purpose just to confuse you and drive you crazy. The other side of that coin is that other people have sent me emails saying, hey, that's exactly what a military operations manual would look like, because it gets rained on, it gets dropped, we're working on it out in the, you know, the dirt or whatever. So that's exactly what they look like if somebody were to try to copy them. So there's two ideas about that, and again, nothing conclusive.
Right, and, you know, it's funny because, yeah, it does look like an official document, and, you know, just from him having any kind of military experience, he could replicate that, so...
Well, you know, think about this. What would it take for you to believe that the time machine was real? Would you have to see it? Would you have to travel in time? I mean, would anything really convince you? I mean, that's the other question this is all brought up, is what would convince you that he was real? You know, if you went on a time mission with him, that would be the only thing.
That's the only way you'd really know.
That's the only thing you'd believe it.
Didn't he post on the old Art Bell website?
He did. In fact, that was one of the chat forums before it was shut down that he was very prolific on.
So he was a regular on that. That's what I heard. So we've got copies of him out there somewhere, huh?
Yeah, in fact, there are other websites devoted to tracking all this stuff down and preserving... You know, I know Wayback Machine has some, but I've seen other. In fact, there's a link on our site. I think it's the Time Travel Portal, and they have links to the exact text, which shows you the feedback from the other people and some of the things that led into his attitude a little bit.
Was he supposed to leave behind some kind of film or video?
Yeah, one of the things he said was that he was going to try and have his departure videotaped, and then he was going to send it to somebody. And so far, that tape has not shown up.
Huh. Wouldn't it be something if it's out there somewhere, though?
Again, would you believe it? I mean,
I don't know, because, you know, what would we don't know what he looks like.
Right. And so, I mean, you could make it. I could make it. Anybody could make it.
Well, don't give us a an idea. First-time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. They had a TV show about time travel a few years back.
Uh-huh.
And they showed this big round device, and he'd bounce around, and there was a Russian lady that was helping him. And he'd go around trying to do, you know, make things right. But specifically I'm calling because does this kind of time travel have anything to do with, like, the beaming aboard thing that they did on Star Trek?
No. You know,
that's teleportation.
Yeah, John, in fact, people asked him that. He did not dematerialize. Apparently, whatever effect his machine had on him, it happened around him, and he slipped between timelines,
like,
or whatever.
A portal or something like that?
Yeah, like a doorway would open up, and then the machine would go through it.
I say that because there was a Black Bart Bolton who was my great-uncle, and he evidently, and I had this dream during the Loma Prieta quake that he, brick wall had opened up, and there was a way he could transport himself, a machine, and that had become exposed during that time. And I don't know if it relates, but also, did he mention whether or not we're going to go to renewables and get away from nuclear or other dangerous forms of energy?
Yeah, actually, he did. He talked about hydrogen power. He talked about solar power. And I got the impression that it was out of necessity, that basically when the conflict started, the oil economy collapsed, and then they were forced to develop those technologies to get back on their feet.
Wave energy and so all the different renewables. That's good. Also, you know, we have enough alien beings on our planet as it is. It's a wonder that there's people that, you know, that we could still gather together. It's a wonderful thing.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you being part of the program. What of the things you've investigated about John Titor, Oliver, what has fascinated you the most, perplexed you, scared you? Any one thing?
Lately, I would say it's this physics information coming out that's backing up a lot of what John talked about. Because I read these articles, and it just bewilders me that 5 years ago, everybody would have said this was ridiculous, and now they're taking it seriously. And he said this was going to happen. I mean, lately, that's what's been disturbing me the most.
So whoever it might be has got to have a pretty good knowledge about the physics, science, earth changes, name it.
I mean, for a while there, most people were convinced whoever this was worked at CERN, and that's the only way they could have known
mm-hmm.
that these things were going to happen.
Well, that's very possible. I mean, either he was a great practical joker with knowledge, or, see, my point is people like that have to come back eventually. And they don't go away. And when he went away, he has stayed away, apparently, right?
Yeah, and, you know, no one has come forward to claim responsibility for doing this. No one has come forward saying, hey, I'm back. So, you know, whoever it is or whatever group of people this are, they're, you know, they're probably listening to the show right now. So, do you get a kick out of just listening to people react to it, or do you want to take credit for it? I don't know.
That's a good question. Well, stay with us. We're going to continue with final phone calls with our guest, Oliver Williams, who has put together really assembled all the information that was out there on John Titor, johntitor.com. And when we come right back, we'll chat with him, and then I've got two more hours of open lines for you. And if you need to email me, that's simple. That's george@coasttocoastam.com, and the website coast2to. You got to do that. You can't put the number in. coasttocoastam.com. Open lines at the top of the hour, so get ready. But when we come back, we'll finish with phone calls and our guest Oliver Williams as we talk about the strange story of time traveler John Titor. Oh, by the way, special hello to all of you listening on your favorite radio stations worldwide, StreamLink members, of course, the Fantastic Forum Pirates, the Imaginative World Explorers, those on Sorcery IRC, the National Radio Club, and various chat rooms all around this planet. Hello, and thanks for listening to Coast AM. And welcome back. Oliver Williams, our guest. Your phone calls, time's ticking, so let's go back to the phones. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
John Teeter, I believe, is a real time traveler, and I believe that he will reappear, but he's a liar and a deceiver. I know four time travelers, and they're all reptilian humanoids. So they look like us. And John Teeter is probably a reptilian humanoid. He wants you to believe that this planet has a future past 2012, that you are not to fear the New World Order, and that you can take the mark of the beast. The leader of the reptilian humanoids is Satan the Serpent. And the guy who called has said that he had a daydream. They can influence your thinking through telepathy. And this is part of the end time deception. There's all kinds of false religions being proposed right now by reptilian humanoids. But John Teeter probably will reappear and deceive people.
And are you saying he's shape-shifting, or what's he doing here?
Yeah, they have powers of invisibility, powers of metamorphosis, which is shape-shifting. He's here to deceive us. They've infiltrated the planet. I know four of them, so there's got to be at least thousands of them. The numbers seem to be increasing, and they're setting up false religions and false teachings to deceive people into not fearing the New World Order, the Mark of the Beast, and believing that we have a future past 2012. It's all deception.
Oliver?
You know, I think he's got a very good point in that it's more terrifying to imagine that John is a time traveler, but he was lying to us. Or maybe he was only telling us half-truths, or he was telling us things that he wanted us to react to. So I think the idea that we have somebody out there with this technology, with this power, and they're manipulating us, I think, is more terrifying than
Satan. Is terrifying. You should fear him.
And we don't have any proof that John Teeter was a good guy, do we?
Well, I think he was very honest. I mean, if he didn't like you, he would tell you. But I don't recall him ever being malicious or insulting. But you know, then again, based on the caller's point, that's exactly how they would be if they wanted you to like them.
Well, you know what? Anything could be going on. Maybe Teeter's here to fight them. Who knows? Thanks for the call. We'll pick it up by going to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think this is all well and fun. I think it's great for sci-fi, but as far as fiction, I don't believe it.
Why don't you believe it?
Because the minute he said that he went back and stayed with his folks, that's where I got my clue, because Einstein once wrote that matter of exacting matter could not occupy the same time and space.
What if Einstein was wrong?
Einstein is wrong.
All right, Oliver?
Well, you know, again, I would go back to some of the comments that, you know, Kaku is making and some of these other physicists, and the idea is that in a universe with multiple timelines or multiple universes, you could go from one to the other and affect things and not affect where you came from. So I guess if you were staying in your own universe, yeah, you'd have a paradox problem. But if you were going to someone else's universe, then you could do all these things and it wouldn't have an effect.
No, this was indulging in the fact that if I went back to the time I was 2 years old or 4 years old, I could not get anywhere near myself.
In this universe, I would agree with that. Wouldn't you, Oliver?
Yeah,
in this pure, you know, just as you just mentioned.
I don't think, you know, it's very difficult to wrap your mind around that just for that reason.
But he could have come from other spots. Thanks for the call. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Where are you calling from? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I'm calling from Los Angeles. My name is Max.
Hey, Max.
Great show, George. Thanks, Oliver, Max. I'm going to drop you an on-topic question and one off-topic, if you guys don't mind.
Well, let's give me the on-topic first.
All right. Is there anything known about the future socioeconomic situation regarding communities that this man Tito claims to be from?
Did he talk about that, Oliver?
You're talking about his
economics
community?
Yeah.
Yeah. He described the future as being
socialist.
I would say closer to libertarian. I mean, community, states' rights, you know, your local community. That's what came first, and then there was an allegiance to some sort of a national organization. But he was very, very clear, you know, that it was family, then his community, then his county, and then the nation. And he was very steadfast about that.
That is definitely how it should be in the United States.
And that's what he thought too.
Yeah.
Mm. Can I drop the off-topic question?
Real fast, sure.
The other guy that called in from the west of the Rockies, he was completely on topic about the reptilians, etc.
Yes, yes.
Also, the other guy that called in, he needs to get his head out the clouds and realize that there's a lot of things going on that he doesn't want to be aware of. He's obviously keeping himself on a lower level.
The one who said Einstein was right?
Oh, okay. Einstein has been proven wrong on that. The quantum physics has realized that two particles can't exist within the same space and time because matter is not really existent.
I bet old Albert...
It flickers in and out of existence.
If Einstein were around today and had the use of computers, I bet he'd even look at his old theories and go, I think I better change this. All right, thanks for the call. Let's go to our wild card line. Who's up next? You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hello. George.
Yeah.
Finally, since 1990, I've been listening to this show and calling.
It's a long time.
It is a long time. The first show I heard was the Bob Lazar 1989 with Art.
One of the classics.
Yeah, it was incredible. That's what got me hooked to the show, and I've been listening ever since. Big fan of yours and Art's, and I'll try to make it brief.
Sure.
Wanted to say hello to Oliver, too.
Hello.
Let's see here. Dolores Cannon was a past guest on your show.
Yes, expert in Nostradamus.
Right. She wrote three volumes in the early to mid-80s about future predictions. And one of them made the hair stand on my back, and I got goose pimples because it talked about the AIDS virus. Now, it was created in a laboratory under the chemical warfare division of our so-called government. And I had read previously in 1988 an article in Newsweek, of all places, of a CDC spokesman coming forward and saying that he was part of a program to create a biological virus to affect undesirables in our society.
No, that's not true. There's been no, and even though I have my own suspicions of how that virus might have been created, there's been no CDC person on record ever saying that. So that,
well, if, I just, but that it played into part of what I wanted to ask about whether this Teodor fellow had ever mentioned anything about the AIDS virus.
All right.
Also, another comment, if I could, please.
Let's find out about your first question.
Okay.
He was asked about that, and he said that they had not made significant progress towards solving it. In addition, some of the other things that he was saying, it was obvious John had no love at all for our government system the way it existed now. He did not trust them. He was afraid of them. He had nothing nice to say about the way our government
And this was
now.
pre-9/11, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead with your
Well, there was another book by Leonard Horowitz, Emerging Viruses,
yes,
and Ebola.
Absolutely.
Talked about it as well. The other comment I had was Joan London in 1997 on the Good Morning America show.
Okay.
She was interviewing the guy who presented a press conference about Roswell on the 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole special that week about Roswell, allegedly a special on the ABC show. And she tried to ask questions of this general, this Air Force. I forgot what he was high up in the Air Force.
Was it Colonel Corso at the time?
No, not Colonel Corso. She was interviewing the man who came forward with the press conference to debunk Roswell.
Oh, a debunker. Okay.
Yeah, he actually had a press conference in Washington and covered it on television.
This is the one who talked about the dummies and things like that?
Exactly, exactly. Right, okay. And he said it was Project Mogul.
Right.
And Joan London looked at him and she said, well, wait a minute, Colonel or whatever he was. Didn't that project happen in 1954 and Roswell happened in 1947? And he looked at her and he says, well, you know, old people, they get their years confused.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they went to a commercial immediately. About a week later, she was fired from the show.
Interesting. I'm not
I'm not joking. This actually happened.
I remember the timing on that. I don't know if that's the reason she got fired, but you're all right. That did occur like that. And she did try to pin him to the wall. Thanks for the call. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, gentlemen. Great listening to you tonight.
Thank you.
We're in British Columbia, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Like so many other events, I think, real or unreal, I think this guy might be part of a psyop to distract us from the truth of the power of intent and our collective power to change and or improve our future. And I was just going to ask the question, did he talk about any off-world intervention, crop circles, UFOs, or the end of the Illuminati draconian control of our times? Is he Did he cover any of those issues?
He did talk about UFOs. Somebody asked him if that was an issue in the future, and he said he thought UFOs were more sophisticated time machines. They were time travelers with better machines.
Well, there is a cure for AIDS. It'll be out probably within the year. I can tell you that from a direct source. You know? So I think this guy's playing us a little bit. You know,
when you were talking about that, again, this is what drives everybody crazy, is why do that? What is the possible outcome or event or reason for doing that? What does somebody want us to do by telling us the story, in your opinion?
Well, you still with us?
I am.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about what you said about that AIDS vaccine.
Well, I'm associated with a group, and we're in third stage clinical trials now in two countries outside of U.S. and Canada.
All right.
And Hep C has also been is now looked after, too. We're still in trials on – we've got second stage clinical trials on that and third on the AIDS.
Well, after third, you then go to the FDA for approval, right?
That's right. Okay. And like I've worked with David Icke. I did some 9/11 research for him. And I'll tell you, we're being played like fools. I think this London bombing was just perfectly planned as a distraction for the G8 guys to pout and look somber. And I think that other events, some of which I can specifically say there's forensic evidence that the World Trade Centers were blown up, as was the Oklahoma City building.
Well, we've talked about that on the program before, no doubt. But I want you to keep in touch with me about this AIDS vaccine, if you would. I wonder what John Tito would be doing if he were here today, Oliver. And also what he brought up was interesting. If he is just some kind of like black ops guy, a disinformation specialist who's trying to confuse us.
True, but I'm thinking, what would be the possible reason? What would they want us to do by telling us the story? Because John, you know, John said we had control over our future, that, you know, the things that you want a time traveler to do, you're perfectly capable of doing. So I'm thinking, what would be the purpose of doing that if it was somebody trying to confuse us?
Good point. Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, George, I've enjoyed your show for quite a while. I hope you can get Alex Jones back on sometime soon.
Hello, always. Oliver. We always get Alex on.
Oh, I love that guy. Hello, Oliver. How are you doing?
Good.
My question is in regards to the U.S. Civil War that John talked about a lot, and he described it as being precipitated by a series of Waco-style events, then leading up to armed conflict between sort of like a patriot movement type people against the government, pretty much. I was wondering if you could comment on that. And now that Y2K hasn't happened and John's universe pretty much hasn't happened, I was just wondering what you think the possibility of that is today.
On your first question, actually, I got an email today, and somebody made reference to the Supreme Court decision about eminent domain.
Yes.
And their point was is that if they carry this farther, how many people are going to be upset about having to move out of their house in order to put up a bowling alley?
Yeah.
And is that something that's going to cause that type of unrest?
And giving local jurisdictions the ease to do that, it's, to me, it's ludicrous. And also this situation where this reporter's in jail now because she's not revealing her sources before a grand jury. I mean, since when do we start attacking reporters like this who are our watchdogs?
You know, and John made a reference to the reason his parents left the whatever city they were living in. He said their next door neighbor's house was searched for no reason, and it was without a warrant. And of course, you know, oh, that could never happen in 2000. But now today you look at some of the things that are going on, and that's not so far-fetched anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I've been visited by Homeland Security myself. I've talked to Alex Jones about that on his show. And so it's a very real possibility. And just, I wish people would wake up out there to what's going on.
And your other question about Y2K versus no Y2K.
Yes.
A lot of people are wondering if John didn't feel guilty, if he had something to do with that, you know, if he manipulated things and that's the reason why Y2K didn't happen, which
yes,
just seems far-fetched.
I read his book that his mother in our time put out, and he said, well, what if I was the one that diffused Y2K or whatever he said, you know?
Right.
Now, wait a minute. Did his mother put out a book, Oliver?
Apparently, okay, this gets away from the mythology, which is what I try to concentrate on.
Right.
So this is separate from what happened online, but I'll tell you what the background is.
The attorney who represents his family, apparently there is a book that has comments from John's mother in our time, and she, I guess, tries to explain some of the reasons or some of the background as to why he was saying some of the
right,
things
she
that
does.
He did.
She's not the author of the book. She's,
correct.
She's being interviewed in the book.
That's correct. In other words, John would say something, and then she would comment on it like she was there, like saying, "Oh, that's not what he meant by saying that. I was there when that happened." So it's almost like these other comments being interjected to what was going on at the time.
Who's the author of this book?
I don't know. It's either a combination of the family and the attorney, or somebody else that put it out that's associated with them. But you know, I try to stay separate from that because those aren't the real events that happened. You know, it's like this comic book. Somebody's coming out with a John Teeter comic book now, and the dance. I mean, there's hundreds of things going on about John Teeter that.
All right. Listen to this. This is how quickly our audience is here. They're phenomenal with these fast blasts. The name of the book is called John Teeter, A Time Traveler's Tale by John Teeter.
Yeah, apparently it's the post that he wrote, and they've been consolidated into a book, and then his mother made comments about his posts.
We're going to have to track down who published it and find out how that was all done. I'm just curious.
All trails lead to this attorney, which is another bizarre part of what's going on right now.
This is absolutely bizarre. It's being sold on Amazon.com. They've got a little picture as well of his time machine. But it doesn't say who the publisher is. I find that weird all by itself, don't you?
Well, you know, the documentary that was made, apparently Larry was interviewed about all this, and he talked all about it. I'm trying to get a copy now so that I can find out. In fact, they called and talked to me also, but I have yet to see this documentary.
You get a copy of that and get a copy of this book.
Oh, I've seen the book.
You have? You've read
absolutely.
It? Is it? Like
yeah,
it was really published, or does it look it was self-published?
Oh, no, I mean, it looks like a book. Apparently, you know, I've got email that people are finding it in Borders and other bookstores, so apparently it's out there.
Who was the author? Just John Teeter?
I don't know, but, you know, again, that's part of the weirdness going on around the story that, you know, if you chased all these things down, you'd drive yourself crazy.
It's nuts. Well, I need to, if you can find out the name of the publisher, we can get to that person, that publisher, and find out how they were approached, who came to see them. That's an incredible story itself.
I think if you wanted, you could even call the attorney. I mean, I've got email about him talking to people. He's got no problem talking about his relationship with the family.
Can you send me some info on him?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, we'll do that. Oliver, thanks. You have a great weekend.
You too, George.
Appreciate it. This thing just gets stranger and stranger. Now we have the Time Patrol searching for John Teeter. There's a book out now by John Teeter that has nothing to do with our guest Oliver Williams, who merely runs the John Teeter website. This is weird. I'll be back in a moment. 2 hours of open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.